the gift that keeps giving outside.
Yeah, the gift that keeps giving and giving.
In my yard.
In lots of ways. Some of them we're not sure are really gifts, but
he thinks anyway, there are. Let me tell you, he's excited.
That's been an interesting challenge. We've been stretched, but I thought this one was pretty cute. You know, Odie's got a lot of toys, and I can just imagine this not going well. But anyway, it's kind of fun. My dog's favorite toy is Santa, so we brought her to see him. Look at the dog there. Really excited. If that was Odie, Odie'd probably be chewing on Santa.
His beard.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would go so well.
Yeah.
Anyway, I liked this one. If you're a parent and you're wondering what to do when the kids get a little unruly at Christmas time and opening presents and, you know, sometimes they're not as grateful as you wish they would be and you just need to kind of, you know, bring a little bit of correction or something. This is a really good tip. So wrap empty boxes, put them under the tree, and then every time your child acts up, just throw one in the fireplace, you know?
Isn't that
Sorry,
awful?
Son.
That's awful.
Sorry.
It's kind of funny, though.
Oh, that was a good gift, too. Oh, yeah, well, anyway. Maybe I shouldn't have included that one.
That's a little naughty.
That was
naughty.
A little naughty, wasn't it?
I'm not sure Santa's going to see you. So.
Yeah. Wow, kind of like this dog right here. We're going to go back to the dogs. I think I might have gone to the dogs right there.
Yeah.
Christmas cookies? No, I haven't seen any Christmas cookies. That would be
Odie,
for sure.
That would definitely be my dog. That's exactly right. And Sam. Would help him. So.
All right. Thank you, honey. Fantastic. All right. This morning, we're going to share about the greatest gift. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We stand humbled and amazed at your incredible love for us that happened long ago, and yet you're still giving today. Lord, we are so thankful for that greatest gift. That gift of Jesus, the one who came out of love for us. We're just so thankful. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Help our hearts to be aligned with you, that we would fully enter into this season, worshiping you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I am a Christmas guy. I got to tell you, I love Christmas season, Christmas time. How many of you are kind of like me? You almost have to hold yourself back because you can just kind of go crazy in this season because you love it so much. I love everything about it, right? I love the sounds of Christmas. How many of you love Christmas music? I love it. I don't prefer for it to be played right after Halloween, but I really like Christmas music when it kind of comes in, you know, right after Thanksgiving. I love it. I probably have 6 playlists on my iTunes account that are just Christmas music, different types, and I love it. I love Christmas music. I love Christmas smells. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say the smells, the scents, the aroma? Today, Mark is going to go and his family, they have a big bake-off thing. You know, they're going to be baking like all kinds of different cookies and exchanging cookies. And I love that. I talked about my Christmas feasting, right? How many of you love Christmas cookies and Christmas, you know, delights? And my grandmother on my dad's side, she was very German. Her maiden name was Habeck. And she lived to be 101 years old. And she was a fantastic baker, and we would go over there, and she would have cookies that I couldn't even spell. You know what I'm talking about? I couldn't even pronounce these cookies, you know. What is that one? A Pfeffer what? You know, I don't know if you've heard these German cookies. What is that one? That one's a Springli, and, you know, a lot of times the cookies would have like a licorice flavor to them, really different type stuff. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You understand? I'm not just, you know, and then there'd be divinity and all these things that I had never really seen before or tasted before. They were pretty good. I'll have to give that. But I love the sounds, the smells. I love the gatherings. And that's one thing that's tough this year. I know there's a lot of negotiating going on with families about how can we gather and keep everybody safe, and we kind of expected today that you know, we may be a little less in attendance today because some are just really wanting to make sure they're well and able to gather with their families, and I understand that. By the way, if you're joining us today, we're so happy you're joining us, and you're an important part of this family and this congregation, and Merry Christmas. And I love the decorations. How many of you love the poinsettias? I just love these bright, beautiful red poinsettias, the trees, the lights. I like the gifts. I got to tell you, I love the gifts. If you've ever done the love language thing, I'm a gift giver. So I love the gifts. And by the way, I got an amazing gift this past week. We were doing a thing. I think Christy called it the Mysterious Magi in our academy. And this is the first year I think I've even been involved. I'm signing back up for that, Christy. But, you know, it was kind of like Secret Santa. And this past week, we had our big party, and we revealed our gifts. And I got the most amazing gift. Betty Chady, thank you. It was the most amazing gift. I got my own container full of Kopi Luwak. Does anybody know what Kopi Luwak is? It's the rarest and most expensive coffee in the world. And there's a story behind that. And we got it through some missionary connections. It was pretty cool. I'm not going to tell you the story behind what makes it the rarest and most expensive. You'll have to check that out. But anyway, thank you, Betty. That was awesome. So I love everything about Christmas. And you know, the reason that we celebrate Christmas and celebrate it the way we do with all the giving and that is because it all started with the greatest giver giving the greatest gift. And I want to focus on that for a few minutes this morning. Really, really important. I really want to make sure, in fact, I'm praying for all of you, that you enter in to the true depth and beauty and richness of what Christmas is all about. My prayer is that you will sometime in this next week sit down and reread those Christmas stories from the Bible and get them fresh in your heart and come and worship the Lord. I love Christmas time. I love all that it symbolizes. And it's really interesting because as you're going through the Bible and the first few books, you're getting glimpses of Jesus and some types of Jesus. But when you come to the book of Isaiah, all of a sudden you get this almost like this neon light shining in the darkness picture of Jesus that's so bright and brilliant and beautiful. And I want to focus on it for a few minutes this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. And let's all say this together, okay? Could we do that this morning? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I want to get to those four names this morning. But first, I want to remind us that Jesus came as God's gift. Jesus came to this earth as God's gift. C.S. Lewis says it like this, that the Son of God became a man that men might become sons of God. Jesus came as a gift. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. Did you know that over 40 different times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as a gift? He is the most amazing gift. He is the most incredible gift. There is no other gift. If I were to ask you this morning, what would be the ultimate gift that you could give someone? You would never, never, never come anywhere close to describing anything that would be greater than the gift that God gave on that first Christmas. In fact, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I love that description of the gift of God. In other words, we can't even put into words how incredible this gift truly is from God. 10,000 years into your time in heaven, 10,000 years into your time there, listen, you will still be awestruck by this greatest gift. 10,000 years into your time there, you'll still be marveling. You'll still be learning of God's goodness. You'll still be unable to to even put it into human vocabulary how amazing and wonderful the gift of Jesus truly is. John 3:16, maybe the most famous verse in the Bible, describes that gift and the giver. For God so loved the world, there's the greatest giver, that he gave his one and only son, there's the greatest gift, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is God's gift to you and I, and he's a gift to all of mankind. It's for all humanity. John 1:14, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Notice that description. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus is God's gift to you. I hope you see that. I hope you know that. I hope you recognize that. I hope you take time this season to truly meditate on what an incredible gift you've been given. If you don't get anything else, I remember I was with my great aunt one time. My great aunt lived into her 90s. She was an amazing lady. She lived during the Great Depression. I remember asking her, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but great Aunt Jo, what did you get when you were a little girl? What kind of gifts did you get for Christmas? She says, well, I remember one Christmas, the only thing I got was something in my stocking, which was hung by the fireplace, and it was an orange. It was an orange. Now, I don't know about you, you know, we're accustomed, I think, most of us, to getting lots of gifts and some really good gifts and an orange. Can you imagine that? That would have been your only gift for Christmas? And yet, of course, my great Aunt Jo was incredibly thankful for it, because in that day and time, that was generous. That was a good gift. But I'm just telling you, there's no greater gift ever, ever given than the gift of Jesus Christ for us, to us. And secondly, I want to remind you that Jesus came to lift your burdens. He came to lift your burdens. This world is full of burdens. This year has been full of burdens. And by the way, I'm speaking over you guys, praying over you guys, Psalm 65:11. Because as tough as 2020 has been, the Bible says this: God can crown your year with his bounty. He can crown your year with his bounty. That's what I'm believing for you at the end of this year, that it's going to be crowned with God's blessings. Jesus came to lift your burdens. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. This is not only referring to the fact that Jesus will be a universal and eternal King of kings and Lord of lords, but also that one day, listen to this, Philippians 2:10-11, one day that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's coming a day, folks, that every single boy, every single girl, every single man, every single woman that's ever lived on the face of this earth will bow their knee at the feet of Jesus. And he will reign and rule over all things. And this verse is telling us that also, that he's coming back. He's coming back. He is coming not as a child, but as a conquering king. And Isaiah 9:4 says this, that he will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. Man, God's all about setting people free. God's all about taking those burdens. He's the kind of king, let me tell you, that doesn't lay a heavy burden on you. He's the kind of king that lifts a heavy burden from you. You may feel burdened throughout this year and all that you've had to endure through, but he's a loving king that cares about you and the burdens that you are carrying, and he invites you. In fact, Jesus says, the Apostle Paul says, the New Testament says, cast all those cares upon him because he loves you. Whatever you're carrying, whatever weight is burdening you down, cast it before the Lord and let him lift those burdens and carry them. You weren't meant to carry them. And some of us have fallen into that trap of carrying things we were never designed to carry. We need to trust God with them. I love this verse in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Tracy and I just recently memorized this together in the message, and this is it, and I love it. We've been quoting it back and forth to each other and encouraging each other with it. I want to read it to you today. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and I'll show you how to live freely and lightly. I don't know about you, but I am so, so glad that Jesus longs to take the burdens of this life and lift them off our shoulders and bring us rest and peace for our souls. Third, Jesus came to meet your deepest needs. We had a need. We had a need that we absolutely could not meet. We had a price that we absolutely could not pay. We needed a Savior, and Jesus came to save us from our sins. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful. I think about long ago how Jesus washing away my sins was the most beautiful and wonderful moment in life. And my life was radically transformed. If you haven't experienced that gift, I want you to today. What are your deepest needs? Maybe that is your deepest need and you haven't even realized it. That you need your sins forgiven. You need a personal relationship with God. Let me just tell you, God wants to meet your deepest needs. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Let's talk about that. He is the Wonderful Counselor. Oh, you know, let me just be clear. It means so much more than that he's just a good counselor. We can all benefit from a good counselor from time to time. This is not saying that if Jesus was here, he'd have a counseling practice and he'd get a 5-star rating on Google. That's not what it's saying. It's saying something so much deeper, so much more powerful. It literally means Wonderful Counselor, that he's the source of all wisdom himself. John 1:14, we looked at it briefly a moment ago. The Word became human and made his home among us. The Word, the actual Greek word for word is the word logos. It's that word we get the word logic, reasoning, understanding, wisdom from. He is the divine wisdom. He's wisdom personified. He's the reason for all things. He's the logic behind life itself. Jesus can absolutely answer the questions, the problems, the challenges, and give you wisdom in every decision and determination in your life if you will seek him with all your heart. Secondly, he's the mighty God. And let me just say, there's not a battle that he's ever faced that he couldn't win. He is the hero. He is the champion. He is the invincible one. He is the overcoming one. He is the one who never has been and never will be defeated. And he will answer every battle in your life, every challenge that you're up against. He can help you find the path to victory. He's the mighty God. And he is the everlasting Father. And I love this one. We are living in a day and a time where there are so many young people in the United States of America who've been abandoned by their fathers, who have deep and significant father wounds. I want you to know that God is the perfect Father. He is the perfect Father. Even if you were raised in a home or you grew up not having a father who was responsible and there for you and setting a good example and laying his life down in service for you, most of us understand and know what a good father should be. Should never turn his back on you. Should be your biggest cheerleader. Should be there for you when you have questions. He should be there as a comfort and an encouragement and a strength. And God is all that and so much more. All that and so much more. He's there to answer the loneliness. He's there to answer whatever it is you need. He's the everlasting Father, unchanging, constant, loving, caring for you. He's a gift for you. I don't know if you've received that gift yet this Christmas. You need to. I just implore you today, open your heart to him. Open your heart to him. Sometimes people mistakenly think that God doesn't want anything to do with them. There's probably nothing more heartbreaking than that kind of misunderstanding. Can I just say to you this morning, that is so very wrong. He's the everlasting Father. You know what that means? It means he's the Father who is always interested in you. He's the Father who cares about every detail of your life. He's the Father who never turns his back on you, even when you turn your back on him. He's the Father with his arms stretched out wide, saying, come, 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 and let me embrace you. Let me show you my love for you. I never turn away from you. He still loves you. He still reaches out to you. Look at Psalm 103. What a powerful verse. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Do you notice that description? He's tender and he's compassionate. If you've thought any other thing about God, you have been mistaken. This is God's heart to you. This is God's heart for you. He is the everlasting and caring and compassionate Father. He knows how you're wired. He knows the weaknesses you deal with. He knows the struggles you have, and yet he's tender, compassionate, and always loving. And then lastly, he's the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. In today's world, a lot of times we think about peace being the absence of something. Maybe the absence of war, the absence of conflict, the absence of problems or challenges or difficulties. But in the biblical sense, the sense of shalom is like an all-encompassing peace that really, it affects every arena, every area of your life. It's like when we sing that wonderful old hymn, "It is well with my soul." It is well with my soul. That's what shalom brings. A sense of wellness and wholeness and being that affects every part of your life. And it's on the inside. And it radiates from the inside outward. It's a peace that comes from the inside because literally it's the peace that is the presence of God. Peace in the biblical sense isn't the absence of something, it's the presence of someone. And this is the one, the Prince of Peace. In this Christmas season, he wants to bring peace to your home, peace to your heart, peace to your family. He wants to bring counsel wherever you may be struggling. He wants to bring blessing and victory in whatever battle you might be in. He wants to be there in the midst of your loneliness. He wants to care for you as the perfect ultimate Father. And he wants to wrap you in his arms that you might feel his perfect peace. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? And those of you who are watching, would you do the same? Would you just bow your heads with me for a moment? There may be some of you here this morning or watching today that quite honestly you haven't received this wonderful gift, this gift that I told you is indescribable. It's beyond even being able to truly describe it in human language. It's the gift of God's only Son. It's the gift that will absolutely bless and transform your life. If that's you today, you've never truly received this gift, would you pray with me this morning? Right where you are, would you just humble yourself and cry out to God? And just say, God, I really need you. I want to experience that gift, the gift of God's Son, the gift of salvation, the gift of your peace and your joy and of a transformed heart and a renewed life. Come and just live in me today. Teach me how to live for you. I receive you and all the blessings that you bring this morning. In Jesus' name. And if that's you today, listen, I want to hear from you. I want to help you. We want to pray with you and bless you. Please let us know. For the rest of us here this morning, I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for your peace to be poured out in abundance. For you are the Prince of Peace, precious Jesus. And may each of these precious folks experience the depths of your goodness and your love this season. And Lord, we just thank you today in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen.